Welcome to GamerCast, episode 148. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is the episode for the 11th of March to... No, it's not the 11th. It's the... What is it?
I'm not wearing my watch.
It's the 15th of March. The show note actually says the 11th. Let's just change the date on that quickly. Before I get confused. That's because I was writing it down during the week.
Writing down your notes.
We had a letter from Mr... Chili Pants Mafia. He says, "Hello guys, it's been a while. Over the past couple of months, I've given Far Cry 2, Fallout 3, Bioshock, World at War all shots, but I still find myself returning to Battlefield 2. Oh, Battlefield 2, good game.
I haven't played that in a while, actually.
No, I'm going to
I'm still disappointed with the Battlefield 2142. It was such a good game, but the servers were always crap that it was really bad to play, but it's a game that I wish the EA would go back and fix better.
Not going to happen.
No.
Their release is Battlefield 2 Super Monkey Edition. Yeah, Battlefield 2 is good. I don't have it installed at the moment, so that's why I've not been playing many games.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's actually quite annoying.
Battlefield, I must admit, Battlefield 2, I would actually configure my gamepad, so just use the gamepad because that's all I would need, and put my Microsoft mouse back in on USB onto my Mac and install Vista just to play that game because it's always a good game to run around and just shoot the crap out of stuff. Always a great game.
Mm.
Actually, that was the game that converted me to getting not Nvidia, that's the other one, the red one.
ATI Radeon.
Yeah, that got me my ATI Radeon graphics card. Remember, because you lent me that submarine game and all I got was
What was that? Silent Hunter 2?
Yeah, and all I got was a boat that looked like it was in a pond because there was no other ocean. The only ocean that existed was the one that was pre-generated animated ocean around the boat while it was moving. And when you went inside, all you got were floating heads and they were all purple because it didn't have a pixel shader.
Be dear.
Oh, they were the days.
He goes on to say, prior to a few weeks ago, I hadn't played it in like a year, but damn, that game sure holds up well. Yeah, we agree. Battlefield 2 is a good game.
Mm.
In fact...
Did you ever get the expansion pack for it?
No.
I must admit, I did like the little things you got, especially the fact you play like the Russian Spatsnia, or whatever they're called, and you had the British SAS, American Navy SEALs and stuff, and they had like, some of them had grappling hooks.
Whatever, noob, I play as China.
And you had the...
the People's Liberation Army.
You had a crossbow. You could shoot a thing down, cut to it, and you could zip lying down really quickly as a sniper.
Yeah, I don't really want stuff like that.
Oh, it was great.
Anyways, have you heard about an upcoming PC game called Xeno Clash? I assume that's how you pronounce it. Hmm. It's Xeno with a Z instead of an X. I stumbled upon it, and it looks pretty intriguing. Any upcoming titles you're especially excited for? Cheers, Chili Pants. P.S. Who would win in a battle between Sarkozy and Putin? What if Putin had a lightsaber and Sarkozy had an epic battle hammer? Ponder that for a while. So no, I haven't heard of Xeno Clash. Let's just bring it up.
Let's Google it.
We're not going to Google it. I'm deliberately going to use...
What's the search engine for today?
Ask Jeeves.
Ask.com.
Previously Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
Xeno Clash. Let's just look on Wikipedia.
There's a...
No, we're not watching the video. Oh my god, that game looks epic.
It looks like you've got some sort of stick and you're pointing at a mutant elephant.
It's published by Valve, developed by Ace Team. Release date, spring 2009, platform Microsoft Windows.
Bound to be on Steam.
The game is an action-fighting adventure set in a punk fantasy world. The story begins when Gat, the protagonist of this game, is banished from his family. Gat is a father, mother, dozens of children's. Father, mother is a bubba, a bubba, 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 da 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 da.
Heprophromite creature. Oh yeah, who parents? That's a creature that's both male and female, but not. So it's.
Let's just look at the video. Turn the sound.
There's a video on YouTube. Let's have a look. Oh, you went into HD mode.
You feel what I've done up there, huh? But I let you away. Why did you have to come back? Because I'm a leprechaun. That looks quite funky, actually.
It's very surreal. Do you know what this reminds me of?
Spore.
That giant game that we used to play.
Yeah. The background and the trees and all that sort of look like Spore.
Yeah. It's very surreal. It's like everything's made out of rocks and bones and there's weird creatures. It's a very, very, very surreal. Oh, destructible environments. It's first person. Some good fisting, blocking and stuff. Good hand-to-hand combat for first person. I'm quite impressed with that. Not a lot of first person touch on.
Yeah, Wikipedia doesn't say much about it.
It's very surreal.
It looks
very surreal sort of thing.
Looks interesting. We'll keep an eye on that one. Well, Adam will.
They're playing out of the box on that one a bit.
Hmm.
Which is unusual because a lot of companies are not they're all trying to play it safe with the way everything is these days. But it's nice to see somebody to try and think out of the box and bring out something.
Yeah, what
new.
We really need is a new giant Citizen Kabuto game. that game is genius.
You only have to put the videos on from YouTube, and I near enough wet myself.
Oh, let's just play one of them for all time's sake.
Yeah. Timmy. Where's Timmy? It's the one with Timmy. It's the Timmy one that I like.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go.
Oi, Tom! Top! Beautiful. Who's that?
Steady on, mate. She's one of them.
No, that's Delphi, Sappho's daughter. She's different from the rest of the rapers. Don't believe what the people are doing to the smarties.
Ah! You can't kill him! He's just a child!
He was caught spying.
No! I won't let you!
Ah, lovely. Cheers, mate. So, what's going on here then?
Oh, it's a monthly sacrifice to Kabuto.
Sounds painful. So, who's the unlucky blinder?
Some kid called Timmy.
Timmy, you say? Oh, listen, mate. Do us a favor. Oh, listen, man, will you?
Oh, yeah.
Kabuto!
Kabuto!
What the fuck is a Kabuto?
A creature of legend? 100 times our size? But nay, it's impossible. It doesn't exist.
Get your asses down here, now!
Good old Kabuto.
Aye.
That's a great cutscene. Just type in Giants
Citizen Kabuto Timmy.
And you get that
well,
one.
Well, I suppose it makes more sense if you've actually played the game.
Yeah.
Which you know who people are.
But it is quite funny.
Yeah, anyway, that's Sakurazi versus Mr. Putin.
Yeah.
Who?
Xenoclash. It seems a bit...
Dude, Sarkozy versus Putin.
Oh, Sarkozy versus Putin. Who the hell are they?
President Sarkozy of France and Prime Minister Putin of Russia.
France versus
well,
Russia.
Well, no, it's just Sarkozy versus Putin. I would say Putin because Putin is hardcore.
Yeah, they'd have to be in Speedos with the flag of their country on. And some sort of weird...
Putin would win.
...hat. Well, what would it be? They got guns or are they wrestling?
Well, he says there, Putin has a lightsaber and Sarkozy has an epic battle hammer.
Battle hammer would probably kill the other guy instantaneously.
Nah,
but,
yeah, but it's lightsaber, Putin, mate. He can take it.
Lightsaber would cut straight through it and it would only be left with as a wooden hammer. Handle. No hammer. He'd probably fall off and hit him on the head.
Nah, Putin wins.
Okay.
If anyone wants to comment on that, leave it on the blog. So thanks, Mr. Killy Pants Mafia, for that letter. We'll move on and hit a couple of news items. First bit of news is, if I knew Chris was leaving, I would have got Ian on the show, because Ian wanted to be on.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So Chris turns up, and then he goes away. Okay, no? So, yeah, Ian, it's not my fault. If you come around right now, you can be on the show, but otherwise, no.
He comes running over a couple of hours later after you produce it.
Let me on it! A bit late now, mate. I'm going to bed. See ya. Right, a couple of news items. Nintendo have increased the Wii wholesale price.
Weird for a console to go up
Like Nintendo aren't making enough bloody money.
Fair enough, it's well planted now, the Wii. It's not. I think it's lost its fadness for
it. It's lost its momentum.
You're getting people who are still buying it who are not major gamers, so it's still running to that market, and then you've gotten all the younger ones who are liking it because of the type of games that are out.
Keep
on it.
Keep your feet on the ground.
That you won't find.
Keep your feet on the ground, laddie.
Yeah. You know, you're not going to find a lot of kids' games on the other consoles in large numbers. I must admit, not like to the content of...
Pinata.
PlayStation 2 had a lot of kid games on it.
Yeah, that's the point, because a lot of them have split now, aren't they?
Yeah. I think because the PlayStation 2 was quite easy to design cheap, well-made
kiddies
games.
Hang on a minute, it wasn't particularly easy to let it fall. That's why it got its butt kicked by the Xbox.
Yeah, but if you look at, for cheap games, all those cheap ones, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine Adventures, stuff
that's
like
that. That's just because it had the market share for it.
Yeah, exactly.
No console, I mean, the only thing close to... The PS2, back in its heyday, had like 90% market share.
Yeah, but look at the PlayStation 3. You're not going to start making kids' games for that because of the market share of people who actually go out and buy a PlayStation 3.
No, because the Wii has taken over that
part
of the market. So yeah, this is... I think it's only effective in the UK, and it hasn't actually, as of yet, increased the price at retail for when you actually go and buy one. So it's just, you know...
The people who are buying them in. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit unusual.
You might find that some people are trying to push package Wii's than trying to sell them individually to try and make some of their money back. So they might be pushing that, you know.
Yeah,
I'd
imagine retailers to try and push extra stuff on top of it to help their margin.
Yeah.
But there's no changes I'm aware of so far. We had an iPod Touch explode in some dude's pocket. And his mummy is suing Apple for $150,000. This is some dude living in Cincinnati. Is suing Apple and 10 unnamed retail employees from Apple Store in Kenwood over an iPod Touch that allegedly exploded in the child's pocket. According to a complaint filed yesterday, which would have been the 11th, in the Southern District of Ohio, the plaintiff had the iTouch, as the lawsuit refers to it, in his pocket during school when the unfortunate accident happened, resulting in hospital bills and other monetary losses. So, yeah. If I was Apple, I would respond saying, sorry, we do not sell any product called an iTouch. I mean, you know, if you think you're going to sue a company for $150,000, you'd at least find out what the bloody thing's called. So yeah, they're suing the Apple retail employees for some bizarre reason as well, claiming that They conducted themselves maliciously and fraudulently when they sold the eye touch.
Well, hang on, no. It, straight away, when you said that they're suing Apple and employees of Apple. Now, the only way you have any ability to go near Apple employees is if on the phone. So I was thinking maybe they spoke to at least 12 people. Now, how you could get past around 12 people unless
what I'd imagine they weren't is that, being helped. Hang on a minute. Dude, what I'd imagine is they bought it from an Apple store. They guesstimate the number of employees at that Apple store at the time, 10.
Yeah.
And they say, we're going to sue them as well.
Yeah. But straight away, what I'm saying is when you read it out, it seemed like they maybe got bad feedback from going to Apple. Like, they went into the store and said, oh my God, my kid's been burnt and all this, and they were all like, oh, we don't care or anything
that. It doesn't say that.
Yeah, exactly. So it seems like they're just, like, picking randomness of saying, oh, you didn't tell me my child would get set on fire and you bought this product. Well, it's not supposed to do that.
Well, yes, yeah, a 1 in a billion chance that a battery's going to fail in that way.
Hmm.
You know, because batteries do fail in that way, which is why they're supposed to be disposed of properly when you finish using them. Which is why you're not supposed to short them out or set fire to them or anything else.
Like with Dell, wasn't it the issue with Dell where they were using Sony batteries and they started going funny or something like that?
Yeah, it was. Sony had a batch of batteries which are used in Dell machines, Apple computers, loads of machines, and they had a recall because there a couple of them caught fire.
Yeah.
But it was normally it's a very rare event that something like that would happen. But, I mean, obviously, if you think about the amount of power in a battery, if all that's released at one moment, it's a lot of heat.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a dodgy sort of thing. I mean, $150,000 isn't really a lot of money. You know, they're obviously not being stupid and asking for $10 million or something.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the kid had burns down his leg and lost his trousers and...
Maybe they are just wanting them to pay for the bills that were caused
by it. Yeah, surely they can just do that without, if you just say to Apple, look, the thing exploded and I'm sure Apple would compensate them.
Yeah, like before the show, we were talking about an interview that was on another podcast that I watched once, video one, and it was an interview with a guy whose MacBook had caught fire on his desk. He managed to get it put out and Apple were very helpful of getting everything sorted. And because of the fact that it wasn't that he was like, oh, trying to see if he could skateboard down the street and he dropped his MacBook and it caught fire because he did that. It was on his table. And because of that, they went down the alleyway of making sure that he was okay, any damage that was done to the household. I think he got compensation money for the table and they replaced his MacBook because it's not supposed to do that.
It's not supposed to catch fire.
Yeah, and because it wasn't by usage, he wasn't doing anything bad to them.
He wasn't trying to short the battery or anything.
Yeah, it was...
Or so he says.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this, Mum, I can make it spark!
But, it's not something... You go to the company, you say, look, this happened,
this happened, I want to, your product exploded, it caused a bit of damage, a table isn't exactly a lot of money.
I'm sure Apple probably would have quite happily gone forward and paid for the bills, but what I'm thinking is...
The thing is, it's the lawsuit happiness of it.
Yeah.
Let's just file a lawsuit and let's drag the employees into it as well, because they acted maliciously and fraudulently. What, did they specifically tell the dude, this product will never, ever, ever catch on fire?
Maybe he's got his pocket wet.
I mean, it's like last week we had the dude who sued the airline for $1 million because somebody nicked his Xbox 360.
And his Xbox was in the cargo hold.
Yeah, his Xbox was in the cargo hold. It went missing. And the maximum compensation claim is $3,300, which they do for stolen luggage. And the dude sues him for $1 million because his Xbox is special, meaning he's got his save games on the hard drive. I mean, it's just this sort of sue-happy culture, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
If you just talk to the dudes, if that dude just talked to the airline, they'd give him another Xbox. Or the equivalent value, or whatever.
Yeah. What can you have on your Xbox that's not replaceable? Save games. That's it. Everything else is in the cloud,
even if, for example, you were to charge the company your time for replaying the games... at, say, $20 an hour. Big deal. It's not $1 million, is it? Mm. I mean, $150,000 isn't that far out, but obviously it's still quite a high amount.
Mm.
Sure, the kid got burnt. He's got a bit... He might have a bit of scarring down his leg, but, some dude got run over the other day.
It's not like he bought some from a crappy company that didn't look after it, and it happens all the time. You know, it's Apple.
They're well known for their customer jerkiness. But, you know, I'm not just going to tell you to piss off, are they?
No.
Because they do have their obligations.
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about Internet Explorer 8.
Okay.
So, you know, we've had all these browser benchmarks, like Chrome is 1,000 times faster than Firefox, and Safari is 20 times faster than Chrome, and all that sort of stuff. Well, Microsoft released some benchmarks and a white paper on Internet Explorer 8, showing that it is the fastest browser.
Cool.
So yeah, basically what we did is they, instead of like all the other benchmarks, they've tested like small specific parts like JavaScript performance. They haven't actually looked at it loading on a web page. So what they've done is they took the top 25 websites like Google, Yahoo, Live, eBay, or whatever they are, and just tested Internet Explorer 8 versus Chrome and Firefox and all that. And Internet Explorer 8 was faster 48% of all occasions. It was fastest on the top 5. No, it was on the top 10, it was fastest on 5 of them. So it was actually, it was faster on 3 times as many websites as Firefox and a third as many as Chrome. So yeah, good performance.
Cool.
It'll probably be out of beta within 2 weeks, I'd imagine, as well, because Mix is, when is Mix? They'll probably release it then. So that is 18. So yeah, it might actually come out next week. It wouldn't surprise me if it did. Which I'd recommend everyone to download and install. There's also been a couple of Windows 7 builds leaked. I'm not running it on this computer. I am running it on that one. But yeah, they've actually reworked a few bits of it. It's got a new login screen, which I thought was quite nice looking.
That's quite nice.
Yes.
Yeah, the aeroplanes coming across.
Yeah, the current one is this, obviously.
Yeah, it looks like sunshine coming down.
So this has got a little like
that, with the way that the light is on the bottom right-hand corner and the WISP, it kind of looks like you're looking up at planes going over the top of your head.
That's not what I thought at all. I was looking at a blue thing and with some like stringy bits stretched out. Yeah, that's a plant with a bird, though.
Okay, it looked like a load of planes from my. I'm looking at it from a distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks nice though.
Yeah, nice little thing. There's been a few other changes to it as well. So the latest one leaked, to my knowledge, is 7057. And they've got new icons for like calculator and all that sort of stuff. And they fixed a few bugs here and there as well.
I noticed that you've got Oblivion installed. I know.
No, of course I got Oblivion installed. I was playing it the other day, remember?
Were you?
Yeah. I've started a new character. We talked about it on Gamercast, I'm sure.
Alright.
Chill, it's alright.
Cool. I must admit, Oblivion is one of those games I keep picking up. I can never find it on Xbox very often, but the amount of times I pick up Game of the Year Oblivion on PlayStation 3, and I must admit, I prefer to have it on Xbox just for the fact that I got so far with my gamer score and stuff, and I was just kind of like really tempted to buy another copy. And I must admit, I've actually bought games. I've actually bought 2 games cheaply, but I do have spent some money, and I was nearly tempted to buy Fallout 3. But I wanted this other game instead. But yeah, I'm tempted to go back to Oblivion.
Oblivion's good. If you replay it, you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you can just get sucked straight back into it again. And I really did enjoy my little character where I went for a cat species. And,
a Khajiit.
Yeah, and I was being a thief.
Khajiit.
And I was quite enjoying the fact of you spending more time in the cities following people around and watching what they were doing. And I was watching this elf go to the pub and then run back to pickpocket him and run back to his shop and go in there and nick as much as I could and go back out again. He didn't know I'd done it, and I did like a lot of the game mechanics. I must admit, have they said anything about anything more of the Elder Scrolls? Because fair enough, their last game was Fallout 3.
Elder Scrolls 5, maybe next year.
Maybe.
I'd imagine it will definitely be announced next year. It might even be announced this year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they haven't said anything about setting or anything like that.
Because it was early in its Xbox 360 life, it came out, Oblivion.
Oh yeah, it was 2005 it came out.
Yeah, because I remember getting the limited edition pack, because you got the limited edition pack on, yep, there it is, on PC, and I picked, did you get it on Xbox, or did you just get the standard edition on Xbox?
No, I borrowed a copy on Xbox, which is why I've got some achievements on the Xbox.
But that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got the limited edition on the Xbox 360, which I handed back when it all went pop the second time. But yeah, it was early in the heydays of Xbox 360, and if you look at the graphics of that game and the games around it, the Xbox has moved on its benchmark quite a fair way on its graphics. So I must admit, quite interesting to see the next Elder Scrolls on the Xbox 360, because it did do well for Xbox release. I remember getting Morrowind on the Xbox and absolutely hating it because I just didn't like the controls, and it was just kind of like, and it wasn't what I was expecting. And then I got it again when the Game of Year edition came out, and I got it on PC and I absolutely loved it. But
I
might have to get that again.
Oblivion, good game. Let's put that on.
Yeah, Oblivion. If you haven't played Oblivion, and you don't mind first-person controls, and you like kind of like the fantasy sort of feeling, you want something really gritty and different, and not being online, it's definitely a good game to go through. Loads. If you've played Fallout 3, for argument's sake,
it's like Fallout 3, yeah, only in a sort of, you know,
fantasy. You're on a horse. You've got swords and armor and magic, and you're thieves and fighting guild and the magic guild, and you can just be all these different types of characters, and the storyline's pretty in depth, but there's loads of little dungeons here, there, and everyone, if you play Fallout 3, I've been watching a lot of videos about it of late, and they were showing where the areas that you don't go to, there's areas that you will never go to if you play all the missions, because no mission takes you to that area. You would only go there if you decide to walk there yourself. And one of them was showing this guy who's he's lost most of his skin and he's completely and utterly crazy, and you can pretty much kill him straight away. But it's comical to go in there because all this guy's been doing is collecting plungers. And he's put plungers everywhere. And there's blood up the wall where he's been bleeding, trying to see if it's possible to climb up a wall using plungers. And there's all these plungers and blood handprints going up a wall. You don't gain anything from it, but it's just kind of like...
No, they fill out a whole world, and then they just build levels in that, and they build the missions in that world.
Yeah, and it's great. And there was one with an alien that's crash landed, and you could get his ray gun and shoot stuff, and it's one hit kill sort of thing, and he only lasts for so long. So, and it's the same with this. There's all those little dungeons you could go. I went trying to take shortcuts all the time, where I can't be asked to ride on the road, and it's like if I take a shortcut, it means I'm more likely to run into a bandit to just I've got a fight to have. And all of a sudden, I found this kind of like old bit of a rumble down building, and there's a stairwell, so I go in there. Dungeon, go around and kill loads of ghouls, get a little bit of armor, come back out with a new sword, carry on to where I was originally going to. It just, they do create really nice worlds. That's the thing I like about them games.
Let's talk a bit about your fighting stick, shall we?
Yeah, I mentioned about this when I was getting all hyped up about Street Fighter, and I've continuously been winding my girlfriend up about wanting one, and she's let me try and get one off eBay, which I'm bidding for at the moment.
You're not allowed one, Adam.
Yeah. I've just lost.
Just because she will let you doesn't mean I will.
I've been trying to get a Horror EX2 fight stick, which is a Japanese one. There are two different styles of arcade machines. There's a Japanese style where the buttons have been sprayed out a bit more, and then you've got the classic American ones where they're sat on top of each other in a line. Now, this one is quite a standard one. It's been released a couple of times. It's an official Xbox product. There's a Soul Calibur.
No, it's only 32 minutes left of Unreal Tournament 3. Carry on.
And a Dead or Alive version. My mate picked up a limited edition Dead or Alive for like 70 quid off eBay. I've just lost the bid on the one I was trying to get hold of, so I'm going to have a go at getting one of the official Street Fighter ones that are on bid at the moment. So I'm going to have a go at that. If I don't, I'll keep my eye out and see if there's any more coming around. But anybody who is trying to get hold of either the Tournament Edition or the Standard Edition Street Fighter or any of the Street Fighter pads, you'll know that anywhere on the internet you cannot find them unless someone's selling them. So some of the auctions on Play, Amazon, and eBay. A lot of the places that would stock them online say that they have them. Everybody's advertising that they have them, but all say out of stock, no pre-orders or anything like that. You go into a lot of places, they say they either don't do them or they just don't have them. GameStation were supposed to get some in, but never received that many, and most of them got bought by staff, and then the rest just got by people who turned up on release day. A lot of those were never used and have been sold on eBay, so a lot of fans and hardcore nuts have all got them. Mad Cats have said that they will be releasing some more because of the price of... These controllers to make. You have to realize that Capcom and Mad Cats went together in partnership to create a custom designed fight stick. So they're actually using official Japanese arcade parts. And the Tournament Edition one is actually using the top parts of the cabinet from the original Street Fighter 4 arcade machine. So a lot of these components are quite expensive to acquire. So that's what bumps the price up originally. So like the Tournament one is 140 quid or 120 quid, something like that, if you bought it straight from retailers. But it's limited edition to around about only 300 units they ever produce of the product. Because they thought there's no point wasting all this money on something that just ends up collecting dust in shops and no one goes out and buys them all. A lot of pros will buy them, some pros won't, which I'll get into in a minute. But it's the fact that there's been such a big deal about Street Fighter 4 that a lot of people are deciding they want these game sticks, like myself.
I do not want a game stick.
So
I will, however, have a Steel Battalion on Xbox 360. With a whole fold-up controller, which fits inside of a space of like 2 cubic centimeters.
I don't even care if it's oversized and powerful. If they brought a Steel Battalion on Xbox 360 with that big controller again, I would so buy it. It was good. Did you ever have a go on it?
Yeah.
I borrowed Craig's, and that was
so
just...
So did I.
And you just pump the controllers to get the thing to stand back up again. I kept dying all the time, and the game was just so kind of like annoying, but it was just the controller just made you want to play it.
When you turned it on and all the lights started flashing,
you had to flick all the switches, and it's an actual flick switch and flick plastic clear covers up to hit the red buttons to power everything up. Oh, it was great. It was a really good game. I must admit, if you don't know what we're talking about, go on do it on a search engine.
Yahoo! It's Yahoo now.
Yeah.
Yahoo search
it. Or go onto YouTube, you might find some videos and actually see what it looks like when it's running. I don't know if there are any on there, but it's... If you could ever get hold of a copy, or you know somebody who's got it, have a go. I must admit, it was one of those games on the original Xbox that was well worth getting hold of.
You were talking about Street Fighter?
Yeah, so they're in major demand. I must admit, if you have a fight stick, you know, it's basically... If someone's not understanding what I'm talking about, it is an arcade stick. It's a classic arcade stick with a ball on the end and the little buttons that got the dimples in, like you find in any arcade machine. And I imagine everybody's seen that you can buy arcade sticks. So we call them fight sticks just for the fact that everybody just uses them for playing arcade games or like fight, beat 'em up sort of games. Stop playing games in the background. So the demand for these has really, really increased an incredible amount. So they're a major commodity on eBay. So I must admit, if you've got one and you don't want one, I'm not saying sell it to me, but if you can get on eBay, go onto eBay and try and sell it. You might make yourself some serious money to buy that next game you've been dying to get or whatever. I must admit, some of them have been going quite high. Some people are actually willing to get rid of their official Street Fighter ones just for the fact that people are paying stupid amount. I am not going to go stupid amount. The reason is I found out a lot of pros will not actually buy something like this because they actually go out and the arcade parts, the buttons, the top of the range buttons and the top of the range sticks for the arcade machines, you can buy them from shops online because they will wear out. I imagine everybody, if you're a hardcore Xbox fan, I imagine there are people out there who have worn out a controller. You jab it enough, you will wear one out. So with these, people do wear them out. They have to replace the parts. You can replace the parts for your arcade boxes as well. So people customize and build their own. So there are people out there who are playing Street Fighter 4 and mainly Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which I used to play at uni. And they are building their own fight sticks. I must admit, if I can't get hold of one, I'm going to look into the idea of building one. Just for that, I thought it might be quite cool. I know it might mean that I might actually have to buy myself a wireless USB controller and maybe gut it for the insides so that I've got all the components to hook USB up to a Xbox.
Yeah, build it yourself. You'd be really impressive what you can do.
Yeah.
You'd be like, wow, this is a controller I built myself.
Yeah, it's not going to be worth anything. It's only worth something to me.
It's going to be one of those things you'd hand down to your child.
Well, it's just something that's going to live on my Xbox all the time, and I'll pay more attention to customizing it properly. I'm thinking, straight away I started thinking, oh, I'm going to make the damn thing out of MDF and it's just going to look awful. But then I was thinking, no, get some perspex. Get some nice perspex. Try and get... I know a lot of companies about that you can get like heat treatment on a lot of plastics to get them bent and molded round shapes and stuff like that. So I might try and get one that's completely molded round, cut the top off, because what you have to do is the top part of the plate has to be screwable so you can take it off to get at the guts, and then you have your shell body. So if I could get a, make a shell body and then just put an aluminium plate with a Perspex top on it, I could get like a graphics in there so I can do my own graphics and design it, shove it in, and I can make my own fight stick. If I do ever go that way, we will put a picture of it if I ever make one on the website. Because I must admit, part of me, I must admit there is a teeny bit of me that hopes I don't buy one off eBay just so I'll go out and build one. But I still haven't looked into the process of how hard it is. I imagine it will involve me trying to nick my dad's soldering iron just so that I can do it. So yeah.
It'd be a lot of work, and you know.
Yeah, you'd have to do it right.
There's always the chance it will screw up, and you'll just use it and think, well, the left moves are a lot easier than the right moves.
Yeah. You know, it might just never get that way. I might find it costs more to build one than it does to do it, because you have to buy a proper Japanese parts and stuff. So it's something I'm going to look into. So if that's the way it goes, I will do another report on how easy it is or what I've got to do to actually build one of these things.
So, yeah.
So yeah, you wanted to talk about...
Oh, Unreal Tournament 3.
Yep.
Yeah, this is probably excellent news for everyone listening. But if you're on Steam and you can download Unreal Tournament free inside of 24 minutes from now, you can play it for free for 24 minutes.
It's an interesting thing that Steam are doing a free game for download, because how much is it to buy straight off? It's £8 something, isn't it?
It's £8 or £9 on Steam, so they've got it in a sale until for another week or so.
Yeah, so obviously you might not be able to buy it for free, but you heard it here. Go on Steam and get hold of a cheap copy of Unreal Tournament 3.
Yeah, so I played the demo when it came out, and I've always been an Unreal Tournament fan. You know, I got the original one. I actually got the original one before I got Quake.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
That's quite
Unreal
impressive.
Tournament before having Quake 3. That's, you know...
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just playing Peggle at the moment.
So, what are you thinking? You thinking that you might...
I am very... But since I've downloaded it...
You've
been
playing...
I've got 8 gigs on my hard drive of it anyway. I might as well unlock it.
Yeah. You've been playing it. And that's the thing. If you...
So, I mean...
If you get it, you're not going to need the disc. It's already there. It's already installed.
You need Steam. That's bad.
Yeah. So you just log in as Steam.
Oh, no. I failed. Damn your chatter.
Log in as Steam and then power up and... Straight away. Does that mean you'll have to have it installed, won't you? So you're gonna have to have.
I will need a game installed to play it.
That's only 8 gigs, though. It's not too bad in the whole scheme of things.
No, and I can easily back it up, so I don't need to download it again.
Yeah. So, yeah, reasonable game for.
No, I mean, I didn't get Unreal Tournament 2004 because I just felt after buying 2003 that
it was just a quick swing out and put some extra things in.
Yeah, which... I mean. Tournament 2004 added a lot of fancy vehicle support, and 2003 was lacking. But I mean, that was back when they were talking about doing a yearly game.
Yeah, I remember playing
sort of making it like making it like a sports game where it's released every year.
Was there vehicles in 2003? Was it as open? I remember playing one that was really big maps, and you had the flying vehicles and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was 2000. If you remember it was 2004, because 2003 might have had vehicles, but if it was, it was in a very limited way.
Yeah,
and I certainly can't remember.
I think this
vehicles.
Was the fight back for this, first persons with the fact of having the warthogs in.
Yeah,
all of the
Halo was released around a similar sort of time, so I'm thinking, yeah, let's do vehicles. So yeah, I played the Unreal Tournament 3 demo when it was released, and thought, I'm really not going to pay 30 quid for this. But 8 quid, you know, it's a more reasonable sort of price.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it does remind me of the olden days.
Yeah, classic go around, own someone.
You know.
And I must admit, apart from...
Because Crysis, which is my other first-person shooter at the moment...
I was going to say...
It's really a lot more slower paced.
Yeah. This is your classic, like, you have your videos of you playing...
All my Quake 3 matches.
Yeah, and stuff like that. It's a fast-paced, run-round, frag people. It's not like your first-person Crysis, which is more... Crysis reminds me more Battlefield sort of tactics.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to get around...
I mean, over the last few years, there's been a trend to sort of more realism.
Yeah.
Unreal Tournament is back in old days where you got laser guns and rocket launchers.
And you're just running around shooting people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like where Halo 3 has kind of gone now, because... Halo 3 is still one of the most played Xbox Live games out there today. And the loads amount of people I see on my not friends list, but you know, the played list on Xbox. And I'll go on there. People, like, I've got people who I've been fighting against in Street Fighter 4, and people who I was playing on against on Grand Theft Auto 4. And a lot of them, I always have a look to see what people are playing, and I go down, find the green controllers to see who's online, because I've been playing against people all over the world, and I like to see what people are playing. So now and again, you get people who are playing games that are out before you get hold of them. And amount of times I see people always going back and logging back into Halo 3. And it's still a really played game online. And I've gone on there, and it's starting to get there now, where people are playing those matches where it's fast-paced, run-round, fragging people. And it seems to be that.
It's very similar to Halo 3, except you don't jump as far. In Halo 3, you've got that really slow sort of jump. So let's just show Adam a quick level here. Instant action. Have you seen this running before? Let's do one of the vertical CTF maps. Let's do...
I must admit, I don't think I've actually watched anyone play Unreal Tournament 3. I've been tempted to buy it. I know... Gary had it for a while, and he had it on Xbox 360, and he just played it to death and got bored with it and didn't really want it anymore, and his copy had been worn completely out and it was all damaged, so he just got traded it in because it was useless. But I must admit, the fact that you don't need the disc with this,
well, even if I didn't need the disc, I'd just crack it anyway, wouldn't I?
Yeah. To be honest, thinking about it, if you've got a disc that plays now and again and it is a bit dodgy, you've got an Xbox, and the best thing I would suggest to do is to install it onto your hard drive, because all it does is check the disc from every time you play the game, but it won't run off the disc.
No. So let's just this is with the graphics maxed out.
Now that's looking rather nice, water effects.
Yes, so let's just start the match up, and I'll give Adam a quick rundown of the game. So here we are, red team here. We've got our dude here. We're getting this vehicle here. Why not?
Yeah, I recognize those vehicles.
Yeah, vehicles there. That's very nice. Or we can get on our hoverboards. So yeah.
Can you shoot from the hoverboard?
No.
So it's more of a get around quickly.
Yeah, so you got hoverboards to get around quickly if you're just running around like this. Oh. They don't walk on. It suffers from the Back to the Future problem where they don't go across water.
It's the classic thing, a hoverboard don't go on water.
No. So let's just go and kill this noob. So yeah, I mean, it is a good game.
Classic, just standard environment, not too much.
I mean, this is an outdoor environment, so the gameplay is a tad slower paced because you've actually got to get places.
Yeah,
but this is things hoverboard. Where hoverboards really help.
The hoverboard is a standard item you don't lose. Is it for just, like, fast running? It's like having a sprint, I presume.
Yeah. Yeah, this is basically a glorified
sprint. So is that a vehicle they've got into, which looks like a giant tripod from War of the Worlds?
Yeah, that's quite a nasty little machine, that is. As you can see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got, you know, classic Unreal Tournament weapons. Shock rifle and things like that. The only thing faults I really have with it is the levels seem quite limited.
Mm-hmm.
They all sort of have the same sort of look as well. The original Unreal Tournaments, they had a lot of variation in the levels, but all these levels look like Gears of War levels. They all have that sort of dirty.
From what you can gather, if you're listening to, because it's like save 40% sort of thing. How much is it in standardly? Do you know how much?
If you just buy it from a shop or like online somewhere, it's about £15.
So you're saving yourself a little bit. I imagine it costs more than £15 off Steam if you weren't getting it in the sale.
Yes, but I mean, it's probably still around £15.
Yeah. So £8, Unreal Tournament 3, not too bad.
Not too bad. It's good for like old school sort of stuff. I mean, it's not a game I would have looked at for £30, but for £8, yeah.
It's worth, you know, for that classic of always having a good, up-to-date, cheap Unreal Tournament. Because what was the...
The only issue is, of course, it's Steam.
Yeah. So you're going to have to be logged into Steam.
Can I play that multiplayer on a LAN with one copy? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
In most cases, probably not.
Do you think you're going to be able to mod this like you can with most of these games?
Yeah, you can mod the Unreal. I mean, the Unreal, if you have a look in the source file here, I mean, yes, it lives in the source land, but it's still, you've still got the old school file structure there. You've still got all your bits and bobs to mod.
Cool. So, you know, if you wanted to get more map packs and stuff like that, it's up there for adding extra bits in. It's not 100% locked to Steam.
No, it obviously is Steam.
Yeah.
And if you buy it from Steam, you actually have a Steam key, so it'll only work with Steam.
Yeah.
But I can tolerate that, I suppose.
For £8.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about The Lost and the Damned, which is the GTA 4 expansion pack.
Now,
because Adam actually bought it.
Yeah, I went out and bought this. As a lot of listeners will know, I do ride a motorbike, so the idea of it all being about being bikers and having really nice motorbikes really intrigued me. Straight away, they have changed a lot of things about the game. The environment in certain areas, there are biker gangs now, so that's up and appeared, which means that there are a lot of parked bikes about the place. So seeing a bike is not as random, but you do go to certain areas, you probably won't see them as much.
I need to play GTA 4 a bit.
One of the cool things about it is I still don't know if I've lost my game save for playing the original one, because now every time I load it up, I'm playing in the expansion. But am I fussed? Not really. I must admit, I got as far as I was can be asked with. I think I got to the point where when I get really into it, I'll go back to it. But apart from that, I was just playing GTA 4 for online with my friends and for just picking up a car and destroying stuff, which is what I did constantly with GTA 3. The reason why I never got rid of it was just jump in a car, see how far I can get away from the police, piss about.
Is it? I never really had the urge to do that in GTA 4.
In this one, oh my god, it is perfect for just mucking about. But a lot of the elements are still there. Some of the things have been changed. It has a little bit of fun with the original part of GTA 4, with the fact that the opening bit, it shows everybody riding together, and it keeps doing these cuts of each member and who they are, and like one of them's the treasurer, one of them's an enforcer, you know, because it's a fraternity of brotherhood for this biker gang, and they all got different jobs in it and stuff. And as it's doing that, you go around and you see this hooker on the side of the street. And as the bikes drive around, this guy, she bumps into someone and he tells her where to go. And you realize it's the main character from GTA 4. He just plays a small cameo in it. I imagine you might bump into him later. So game clicks off and it jumps into the story straight away. It's not long before you can dump the story if you want, stop there, and not have to go any further with the story. You can do what you want to do. Grand Theft Halo.
Have you not seen this video before?
No.
That's good.
Yeah, pause that. I'll let me carry on with my thing. Yeah. Oh, they can't see this.
No, carry on talking.
Yeah.
I'm just watching this myself.
Okay. So,
I'm really annoyed that they didn't bother de-interlacing the bloody video.
Straight away, one of the great things that I'm so happy about is they've kept the mobile phone.
Hoorah!
So the mobile phone's there.
You still have you're still living in the 21st century. Congratulations.
You still have your friends in your book of kind of like, or do you want to go for a drink? Do you want to go to a strip club and stuff like that? And some other things have been added to do with the biker gang. You don't have to keep talking to your friends. From what I can gather, they won't ring you up all the time. If they do, it is just for, like, you know, do you want to help me on a mission? Do you want to help me on a mission? Apart from,
they're not bloody trying to socialize with me.
Yeah, no socializing, because you've already got them as friends. That's been taken out. But the great thing about it is some of your friends have got extra options. If you click on them, you won't necessarily ring them up. It will say, do you want to go to a strip club? Do you want to play pool? And then one of them will have weapons. You hit that, you ring him up and go, dude, I really need you to hook me up with some weapons. And he will park within the block radius of you with a van. You go there, he opens it up, and you can buy whatever weapons you want to load up there and then. Another guy, you say, it will give you a list of weapons, the ones you've unlocked so far. And you say which one you want, and he will go put it on the bar table in the fraternity's main base. So you can just go back there, pick it up, and you can arm yourself up. And then the third guy, you say, you'll get a list of these bikes. And at the moment, I've only got two unlocked. And you go, oh, dude, I really want to ride this such and such chopper. And he'll go, I'll hook you up, mate. And all of a sudden, a couple of minutes later, he turns up at a certain location right in front of you, jumps off the bike, goes in a car that was following him, and you've got a bike. And because you're, you know, bikers, you don't want
to... It's convenient, isn't it?
You don't... It does... Didn't turn up straight away, and I was quite close to the base, so it's just kind of the guy from this garage. You can go to the garage and get them. But it means that you can play the game and keep being on the bike and not finding, oh, this is a game where I'm in a leather jacket, I'm hard ass, I've got a sawn off shotgun, I'm going to blow your head off because you looked at my lady the wrong way sort of game, and I'm spending the entire time driving in taxis because that's all I can nick. It allows you to get the bike back whenever you want. I must admit, riding around with a sawn off shotgun,
what do you mean it's all you can nick? Can you not nick normal cars?
Taxis are always the best one to nick, because you get into an RV or something, it's really sluggish on the you know, it's like a soccer mum's car and you end up piling in. So you've got to be choice on what car you get, and if you're being chased by the police. So if you see a choice car, you go for it, but otherwise taxis are the best ones to nick, because you know what you're getting. You look for the yellow cab, you know what you're getting.
Can you just get the taxi man to drive you where you want to go?
You can do, and sometimes if he's
good,
there's
no reason to resort to crime, Adam.
If he's getting a bit slow, you can always point the gun and blow his back of his head off and nick the car afterwards.
Adam,
this is the best way to get out of the car.
Can not make a mess inside the car.
Straight away, I do like playing as this character.
I hope you're not only sitting in his blood.
One thing that I do like about it is time frame. The time it took from the game to be released to this add-on being brought out means that pretty much everyone has got as far through the game to unlock all of the islands.
No.
Most people have.
No, I'm still on the first island.
Even if you're not, a lot of people are like, right, so you want me, who I know my way around these islands because I play the game all the time, to be stuck on one island again. Well, you can go yourself. That's what a lot of people would get. Like, they get really wound up about having all the islands locked again. So what they made sure on this one is all the islands are free roaming straight out of the box. As soon as you download the game and start playing it, you can go anywhere on the map. You are not locked to one island. You start on one island, but you're not locked to it. You can go where you want. So for argument's sake, if you got hold of it, you're kind of like, well, I'm not getting anywhere on this original game.
1600 points? I don't think so.
I wanted to get this one. You had spare points, for argument's sake, and you downloaded it. Straight away, all the islands are unlocked, and you can go where you want.
Yeah, I've got the points to get it, but it's like...
First impressions... I'm quite liking this. The missions are quite cool. I've just done a mission where we had to go and shoot loads of bikers because they turned up at our front doorstep to wonder what was going on because the Billy, the leader, is out of prison. I won't try and tell too much. This is literally
Billy.
The first couple of seconds.
That's a silly
of the game.
Name.
And something happens and you've got to chase after them. And so you're doing a bit of shooting while riding bikes and stuff, which is quite fun. And I've had to do this one where I've had
Shorten
to go
it to Bill, for Christ's sake. Bilbo Baggins.
Actually, I think it is Bill. I'm not too sure.
Billy is that dude from Battlestar Galactica.
And then we get...
Who's dead.
We get to this bit where we had to get a van and then pull up next to this biker place and steal loads of bikes. You're having to go over, grab a bike, get it into the back of the truck, then get another one, and then they all come out and you have a bit of a gunfight and stuff. So I've only done a couple of missions. I've only just started getting into it and stuff. But storyline straight away, it's gripping. It's like the original part of number four. It is gripping. But because you've played the game for a while, they're not trying to dump you straight into it, but they are leading you in straight away. They're making sure that the first mission is unlocking different things so you understand what the game mechanics are, because it has been slightly changed. One game mechanic is that you ride as a pack. A lot of biker gangs ride as packs, so there'll be a leader at the front and then two will lead in a triangle behind and everyone will follow there. They won't just go in single file, and you can ride like that. You keep at a slow pace when you've got, you can unlock it to a point where you'll have people who ride with you, and it kind of makes you stronger. It repairs you, you heal better, sort of things, sort of, as you're riding along. Now when I was doing this, you could ride in your, it puts a marker on the ground where you should be in the pack, and if you ride there and stay there with the pack and don't go too fast and you stay where you are, the bike repairs itself. I know it's, but it's just the game mechanics that, you know, you're with the pack and everything's a little bit better, sort of thing.
Yes, so, the pack has healing powers,
yeah,
which magically make your bike better.
Heals, please.
Rest!
But, yeah.
Do you have a res option? Rez.
One thing I do like is the fact
dude,
that...
Dude, Bill, rez me, dude. Bill, rez.
You can still get to
God
the point
damn it,
of,
Bill.
You got a parking area out front where you can put your cars and stuff. And
still bikes. Garage safe games and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's still got like the TV and whatnot. But the great thing about it is because you've got like this clubhouse that you're in, there's little mini games that you can play.
Ooh,
at
fun.
At all the places that you had to go with keeping your friends. They've got a lot of them in there. So there's like a little mini arcade machine, there's pool. But there's like arm wrestling and different things like that. So, you know, it gives that
Superman
sort of,
would win.
Yeah. But the game mechanics have not been changed that much. I'm feeling that the motorbikes are slightly easier to ride. They're not as jittery as before. But I must admit, they cracked
on. Yeah, in previous games, they were quite
hard to ride. And this one...
Well, they just sort of steer fast and suddenly.
They feel the same, but they feel better. It's hard to explain. You'd have to try it for yourself. But they don't crash as much. When you're on the chopper, you don't come off as easy. Before, it was like you nudge something, you go off. This, you stay on the bikes, because they want the bikes to be the main thing you're riding around on, because that's what it's about. So you don't feel like every time you go on a mission, you want to dump the bike and go get the nice sports car. You don't feel like you want to do that. You want to ride the chopper. So because of that, they've made them a little bit more user-friendly to ride. But you still got the classic, you hit something, you will come off the front. You hit the car. I was nicking a car, and I hit something, and straight away I came out the front windshield and stuff.
No, put your seatbelt on.
Yeah. It's a shame you don't have a button to say, oh, put the seatbelt on sort of thing. The other good thing about it is, when you played as the other character, if you nicked a bike and you got on it and you rode away really quickly...
What they should do is they should have an option for that, putting your seatbelt on. And then when you crash, your head just comes through.
Yeah. Airbag comes out and then you're stuck in the car and you can't get out as quick. See, I imagine that would have made a good game mechanic. You could survive a car crash, but you get pinned in the car for a while and you have to try and get the gun and shoot it to get out, and it made it harder. So if you're being chased by the police, you couldn't get out. Where if you crashed a car and you go out through the windshield, if you've got full health, you've got a better chance of getting away because you've got a head start as you go flying through the windshield. I must admit, this character is quite nice to play. I must admit, for just mucking about, it is quite cool. The element of the game is just...
So yeah, apparently it's quite good then, yeah?
I'm liking it. It's...
Recommend it to GTA 4 fans?
If you love GTA 4,
yes,
you must get this. I must admit, unless you like, oh my god, I hate bikers, I hate bikes, you know, you might not like this. But if you want more expansion, you've completed everything you can, it's worth getting. If you were finding GTA 4 was a good game, but you got put off quite quickly because of the game mechanics with the friends and all that sort of stuff, and you're finding playing this character was a little bit, you know, I can't be asked to go change his clothes, I just want to look badass and go kick some heads in, then I'd say this is the game for you. You just can get straight into it, play the levels, or just get through the first mission, get on a bike, and just spend the whole time driving around shooting people. I just wanted to get used to the bike, and I was power sliding the bike right up to the bumper of police cars, and they would do the sort of a warning noise that, you know, like they do when you run red lights and stuff. I just pulled the double barrel sawn off shotgun and just blew both their heads off and then rode away, and then all hell broke loose and they're chasing me. And they've added some
nice...
I'm not
surprised.
They've added some really nice little jumps in, which are just for motorbikes. Because the element of the game is you're on motorbikes. So they put some extra jumps in that aren't there before, and they're quite narrow, so you wouldn't be able to get off them on a car that well. It would just shoot you off, but you wouldn't get that acceleration as you hit it with the wheels touching. But yeah, I've got this one. I nearly cleared the whole river between one set and the other, and I couldn't make it, so I ditched the bike and then Superman dived straight into the water. Luckily, I didn't make it, because if I had made it, I would have headbutted the stair casing on the other side of the pier. But... yeah, I must admit, it's brought me back into the love of GTA 4. I keep playing it from time to time, like, oh, I should really sit down and play this, but I'm kind of like, the storyline has really dragged me down, and I was just like, oh, can't be bothered.
Yeah, the storyline didn't, you know...
It didn't invigorate me too much, it just dragged me down, and I was finding that the character was a bit kind of annoying, and with the fact the phone was ringing every 5 minutes to go to a strip club,
yeah, it was ridiculous.
It put me off playing, and I was forever turning the phone off. You can turn the phone off, and I was doing that all the time. And this one seems to be missions that you're doing. It was like the old days where you got paged because there's a mission. If you don't want to do it, ignore it. And it seems to be the same with this. You get a phone call because there's a mission. You don't want to do it, you ignore it. It's not someone... You know, I haven't played it long enough to see if there is anymore. So I'm going to do another review when I've got further through the game. Because this one I will...
This is Adam's halfway point review.
Yeah, this is a pre-look at the game, what I think of it so far, because I've only just started playing it last night and today. But so far, it's really hyped me up for playing it.
Alrighty, let's talk about Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers, this is what else I got as well, because I bought myself 42,000 points. So I got this, got Castle Crashers, and I got enough to get something else. So I'm
Is there anything decent being released, which I might like?
Well, I was tempted to get R-Type.
Because I've got a couple of thousand points.
I was nearly tempted to get R-Type. I must admit, when you go onto the arcade thing, go onto the most popular and go through all those and see what there is there to try. But yeah, I was quite.
Are there any cool games which make use of the avatars yet?
Not majorly. There aren't many.
Because I've got Bomberman, but the only implementation I can see is on the main menu. It shows your avatar.
Yeah.
But when you play the game, you're just a Bomberman. It's like,
Why bother? Yeah, Castle Crashers. Can't really say a large amount compared to what I played before on the other review I did of it, but it's getting better. You could only there was only enough bad guys I was coming up against to level up so many times and get a certain amount of experience. But because I was doing more levels and I've gone further, the game is starting to envelop me in a lot more. It's opening up quite nicely. And the other thing is, some of the game has been unlocked now, so I can go back to the castle that you start at, and there's an arena, so you can fight in front of the king, and that's quite
cool. Arenas.
So you've got arena matches, gladiator style, like WoW, and then I can go on the mission, and you get to I won't say too much about the game, so I don't want to ruin it too much, but hey, it's an arcade game, it's not much to ruin. As you fight your way through, you get to this port, and you want to go on the boat to get to a new area, but you've got to collect all these items, so it makes you have to go through the forest, and it's getting better, and you can bump up your agility to your bow to go further, and you got your magic and your defense and your strength. But the combos are really getting into it now, and you're doing a lot of jumping and stuff. It's classic arcade. I must admit, one of the reasons why I wanted this game was because it felt like it'd be something really good to go with a fight stick and actually use the fight stick for fighting with this game, really. But yeah, I must admit, I'd say Castle Crashers, really try it out. It's 1,200 points. It's not too bad. You played it?
No.
I would say download it and have a go. It's one of those just pick up and play arcade side scrolling games, but it's comical. It is comical. It is fun to play, and it is up to four players.
Is it Giant Citizen Kabuto 2?
No. But you are playing as these funny little knights with magical powers that go around just chopping people's heads off.
That's almost as good.
There is decapitation in it.
Oh.
It is.
You know how I feel about being decapitated. I'm not a fan of it.
No, you didn't get decapitated. You decapitate other people.
Oh, well, I still don't like the idea of that.
But yeah.
I think people should have heads.
Graphically, it's a nice cartoonish graphic.
Even zombies have heads.
Yeah, and they all need to come off really quickly.
Nah, they just need to be shot in the head.
But yeah, I'm impressed with this. I'm definitely going to be playing a little bit more. Worth getting.
What about Empire Total War? Have you got that yet?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's not my type of game, to be honest.
Yes, it bloody is. And you know it.
No, if I went for anything, it'd probably be either Rome or... I like the Crusades ones, but... No, I'm not into that sort of thing.
You are.
My dad just likes the Roman ones.
You are. Yeah, I know you're into it.
Stop
trying to save yourself 30-odd quid. I know you like it.
I'm out of money for now until I get my fight stick.
Oh my god, 17 minutes left for Unreal Tournament 3.
Unreal Tournament 3... Ooh.
You bastard, my last moments of this game have been taken away by Gamercast.
You're gonna have to buy it, 8 quid.
Guess I'll find it. I don't know, if they had one button where I could just click to buy it, but I'd have to enter my current emails, wouldn't I? Because I've not bought anything on Steam since. So I've never bought anything on Steam.
I noticed a lot of games on
Steam. I always buy it retail and then just use Steam.
There's a lot of games that are on Steam that are also on Xbox Live Arcade as well, I've noticed.
Yeah, Steam's got a lot of stuff on that. Damn Steam.
But, yeah, Castle Crashers. From what I'm playing it as the unlocked version, I've literally got two levels past what you can get to on the demo, and I'm loving it. You start to level up a lot quicker, a lot better. A lot more nicer combos. But I'm going to try and get a little bit further and unlock a little bit more and talk about it a bit more and see how I feel about it further on, whether it gets too samey or whether it gets better as you go along. But yeah, Lost in the Damned, I definitely recommend it. Unfortunately, the way the game works, it is a real shame that there isn't a demo, but there was no demo of GTA 4 ever released.
Meh.
I would say, yeah, it's tempted. A lot of people might not buy it.
The only thing is, with all this online distribution bollocks, is disregarding the sale at the moment on Unreal Tournament 3, is you very rarely get a sale or anything where you can pick the game up cheaper.
Yeah.
It's always going to be 1,600 points.
Yeah.
You know, granted, they occasionally do like a half price thing on there, but it's so rare.
Yeah.
You
know? Now and again, they did have sales on the PlayStation Network.
And if you walk into a shop,
putting down, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's that you're stuck to that purchase place, and you won't get it cheaper. The only way you would get
it
cheaper...
If you walk into a shop, you know, maybe one week the shop will knock 20 quid off the price.
Yeah, off
that's
the card.
That's actually fairly common.
Yeah, but you could go in there, and maybe they're doing a discount on the points. Now, fair enough. A lot of places are selling a card with 16,000 points on it. Did they ever
1,600.
Sell 1,600. Did they ever sell a 1,600 card before?
No. This was made literally just for...
Yeah, so you can go buy this. I must admit, I am slightly confused that you can go and buy this off Play. Because someone will buy this off Play and wait for it. Now, and if you're buying this for yourself, it's the most stupidest thing you can do because you have to give over your card details. You probably already have done the Play to buy this. Those same card details and that same amount of money could just be paid to Microsoft straight through the Xbox to get it. Now, fair enough, I don't think you can buy 1,600 points straight off. You would have to buy a bit and a bit. So fair enough, if you wanted to buy off the internet and not only spend
that amount
of money.
Yeah, but the thing is, mate, you have to spread the money around.
Yeah.
You know, why should Microsoft get all the money when, you know, they can split it 50-50 with a retailer, for example? Yeah. And also with a postal service. You know, it keeps things in business.
No, definitely.
Bad Adam, stop trying to put the postal people out of business.
And you'd have to spend more... Actually, you'd have to spend more money. Unless you've already got the points, you would have to spend more money because it would cost enough... It would cost more because you'd have to buy them in bulk sets instead of just buying 13 quid.
Yeah, because I think you can only buy them at 500 point
yeah.
levels on the actual marketplace.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'd definitely say worth getting. If you liked Grand Theft Auto 4 and it's starting to come to a grounding halt, or you've completed it and you're just spending all the time going around, it's a good way of playing a different character, unlock different missions, and playing in a different game style. It is
for... Aye, keep your feet on the ground, laddie.
Yeah, it's definitely...
I see you and Iron Forge, I will.
The good old dwarves. Aye, laddie.
Yep, my twink is level 17. He's getting there. He's going to start kicking butt soon.
I'm still on level 54 and he's driving me up the wall. I just need someone to boost me a couple of times to get me to 58 and get to Outland.
Boost.
Mm. Yeah.
What quests are you doing at the moment?
I'm just fighting around with ones by the Dark Portal and ones in West Plaguelands and Eastern Plaguelands. But it's just grindingly slow by myself. And I was trying to do... It's boring as well.
Nah, just find a group to go with.
Yeah, I might start having to try and do grouping and just put... The problem is, being a paladin, straight away they want you to be a tank, and I'm just not in the mood to be a tank. But,
That's the advantage of being at my level. I could do anything, because I've only got 9 talent points.
Yeah. But,
Anywho.
Yeah, anywho.
Let's wind this sucker up for today.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week. Unless Adam's got something planned.
Nope, we'll be back next week.
On the 22nd of March for episode 149, where we'll talk about... We'll find out if I bought Unreal Tournament 3.
Yeah, how I'm getting on with Lost in the Damned and whether any more of the game mechanics have changed through the game, because obviously I'm going to play some more levels, see what pops up. If there's anything extra.
We will also have your letters and feedback. You'll also notice that on portalforums.net, I've started putting the episode... posts back on the forums as well. So if you want to hang out on the forums, portalforums.net, you can do that if you really want. You can also just leave a comment on the blog at gamercast.net. You can review us on iTunes and give us a really nice review, and I might be your friend.
And we'll also find out whether or not I managed to win a fight stick off eBay. And if not, my crazy designs on how I'm going to build one.
Yeah, I look forward to next week and see what Adam has to say about that.
Me, I'm with a...
Here he is with his toolbox and all this junk.
Yeah, a pair of goggles and an Aussie acetylene torch in one hand and a soldering iron in the other. Like, yeah, come on then. Yeah, I'll burn the flat down.
Yes. We will see everyone again next week.
Catch you guys later.